Hello, this is Janet Michael. In addition to hosting The Valley Today each weekday from 12:30 to 1 on the River 953, I also produce podcasts. And I'm excited to introduce you to a new podcast series in partnership with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative called We Are REC. Every week, we'll be releasing a new podcast where we interview different people from REC about a host of different topics. We'll get tips for saving money on your electric bill. We'll talk about renewable energy and the impact it can have in our communities. We'll even get some behind-the-scenes info about what happens when the power goes out in a storm. We're going to talk to linemen, energy advisors, board members, even the CEO. Don't miss out on information about community grants, scholarships, REC-hosted events, and more. Get every single episode as they're released on our website under the podcast tab at theriver953.com, or you can subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or on Spotify, anywhere you listen to a podcast. Just search for We Are REC. We are in the studio today with Casey Hollins from Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. And Casey, I understand you have some tips for winter safety for me.
Yes. And, you know, it has been an unusually mild winter, sometimes feeling like spring, but we do have several months where we could still have a winter storm or an ice storm or some unexpected winter weather event. And we just want to make sure that everybody has taken the steps that they can to be safe during the winter. Winter season, there's an increased risk of fire and electrical safety hazards, and we don't want that to happen to any of our members. So I have several tips that I want to go over. And the first one is about your power outlets. It's really important to make sure that you don't overload your power outlets. Overloading your power outlets is one of the leading causes of a residential house fire. Avoid using extension cords or multi-outlet converters for appliances. Instead, plug them directly into a wall outlet. And make sure that you're checking the power cords as well. If you notice that the power cords are frayed, if you notice that the extension cord is damaged, throw it away. It's not worth the risk of a fire or injury or death to anyone that you love. So please take those steps and don't overload outlets. Another really useful way to minimize that risk is by using power strips. They are a good safety protection, and you can turn those on and off. So even though the items are plugged in, you can decrease your risk by turning the power strip off. But again, if you have any frayed power cords or damaged extension cords, don't use them. During the winter, a lot of people will supplement their heat with a space heater, and we've talked a lot about how much that will cost in the long run, and hopefully that will be an incentive for people to decrease their space heater use. But if you have to use a space heater, we want you to use it safely. So turn off any space heaters before you leave the room. Only use the space heater when you're in the room with the space heater. Make sure that the space heater is at least 3 feet away at a minimum from any flammable items that could be closed. That could be furniture, it could be curtains, it could be rug, any flammable material you want to make sure that it's at least 3 feet away from. I already mentioned that space heaters use a lot of electricity. So if you're using a lot of them in your home, not only are you increasing your risk of safety hazards, you're also increasing your energy cost.
And I will tell you that recently in the news, there was a fire. They determined the cause to be they had plugged a space heater into an extension cord.
Oh,
so
wow.
There's kind of a combination of the two of your tips,
absolutely,
making sure that you're not overloading your outlet, but they had a space heater plugged into an extension cord, plugged into an outlet. Because I know a lot of times people are using these space heaters because they're maybe are older homes.
Right.
And so those don't have great energy load normally,
right,
anyway, because the wiring might be a little bit older and everything else. So that's something else to kind of keep in mind with space,
absolutely,
heaters in general.
I'm glad you brought that up. And also in the winter, elderly people, a lot of times will use a heating pad or an electric blanket. And while it does keep you comfortable, those two items alone can cause nearly 500 fires every year. So electric blankets that are more than 10 years old have an even more significant risk of a fire hazard. So if it is an old electric blanket, toss it out. Don't use it. Inspect your electric blankets and your heating pads. Look for any dark marks on the material. Look for any frayed spots. Make sure the cords are not damaged. And if you see any of those things, throw that electric blanket or heating pad away. And don't place any items on top of an electric blanket or heating pad. And make sure that you don't fold them when they're not in use and unplug them when they're not in use. So we want you to be comfortable, but we really want you to be safe.
And the key with, I think, electric blankets, and I kind of learned this myself the hard way, is follow the laundry instructions.
Oh, yes.
If it says do not put in the washing machine.
Please don't.
Don't think that I'm not putting the electrical cords in, so it should be fine. And the little things in between got a little wonky, and I plugged it in and it had a hot spot. Mm. So it went in the trash. Thankfully, we didn't actually like catch ourselves on fire or anything.
Right.
But pay attention. They've come a long way.
They have. And I think they're fairly inexpensive. So don't fret about having to throw it away. Your safety is far more important.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of our member owners, they have portable generators, and that's great because during a power outage, they have a backup source for some of the appliances mm-hmm. or electronics within their home.
And in a lot of rural communities, sometimes the power is out for a longer period
that's
of
right.
time than just a few hours.
Especially during a major ice storm, because those can cause significant damage. But when you're using your portable generator, we just want to make sure you're using it very safely. So never connect your generator directly to your home's electric system. If you want to be able to connect it without having to connect devices to it, we recommend that you install a generator transfer switch. And we do have a master electrician on staff who does install those throughout our service territory. And those can be purchased from REC, but it's an incredibly valuable safety tool that you want to have. If you are going to use your generator, make sure you start the generator before you plug any of your appliances into it. Make sure that you're operating it in a dry, well-ventilated area. I've heard horror stories about people who have used their generator inside of the garage on a cold winter day
in the basement
with it being enclosed, and that can increase your risk significantly, probable risk of carbon monoxide poisoning. So if you're going to use it in the garage, because it's a dry space, make sure that you have the garage door open and the windows and vents open. When you plug your generator into the generator transfer switch that I mentioned, what that does is it keeps you safe, but it also keeps our linemen safe. If you try to plug your generator into your home's electric system yourself, it can cause damage down the line and injure our line workers. So please make sure that you connect it safely using a generator transfer switch or connect your appliances directly to the generator. The last safety tip that I have pertains specifically to smoke detectors. Certainly there's housing codes that require where smoke detectors should be, but once you're in your home and you're comfortable, you need to make sure that you maintain those smoke detectors mm-hmm. and change the batteries. So one of the tips that we offer is to change your smoke detector batteries when you change your clocks for daylight savings time. So make sure that you test your smoke detectors. In my home, my smoke detectors had been there for about 12 years and were starting to malfunction. So we had to replace all of them. And it just gave me a greater peace mm-hmm. of mind to know that my kids were going to be safe, and test them to make sure that they are functioning the way that they should be, so that in the event, God forbid, of an emergency, it's there to protect you.
And the other key too with that is if you have any kind of fuel burning heat source mm-hmm. in your home, if you have a fireplace, if you have an oil furnace, if you have gas heat, get a carbon monoxide detector as well.
Yes, absolutely. Not long after I started working here over 11 years ago, one of the first stories that I did was a family who was saved by their carbon monoxide detector. The chance had it that day that they were home during a time when they normally would not have been because of a family illness or they were running late, whatever the case may have been back then. And the carbon monoxide detectors went off, and it truly was a carbon monoxide leak. And if they hadn't had that, the results wouldn't have been the same. So I'm glad you brought that mm-hmm. up. That's a great reminder.
Because I think a lot of times people don't understand, when do I need a carbon monoxide detector versus when do I just need a smoke detector? Because if you have literally an all-electric home, you don't really need a carbon monoxide detector. But we have an oil furnace.
Right.
And had I not had that conversation with a friend of mine who's the fire marshal, it would never have occurred to me to get a carbon monoxide detector.
Right. Me either. And we have propane backup heat. And so we have one as well. And I'm glad that I was able to share that story, because I'm hoping that more people have installed them. And if they haven't, I hope that this raises mm-hmm. additional awareness.
The other thing is, and they're not as expensive as I thought they were going to be, is pick up a couple of fire extinguishers.
Oh, absolutely.
They don't hurt to have one under the kitchen cabinet because you never know when you're going to need one next to the stove.
Right.
But have a couple of those sprinkled throughout the house because overall they are going to pay for themselves 10 times over if you ever need them.
Yeah. And you know what you would probably be surprised by is when we do have a power outage, and let's say we have a power outage and you were in the middle of cooking. So a lot of times what will happen is that the person cooking will not realize or think about the fact that that cooking source is going to come back on when the power comes back on. And so that has led to fires. So if you're experiencing a power outage and you're in the middle of cooking, make sure you do turn the power off to that appliance that you're using. But the other thing is sometimes people in the middle of cooking, when the power goes out, will again forget that this is going to come back on, and they might put things on their stovetop like a towel or a pizza box.
Yeah.
And that can also lead to a fire. So in those situations, just be mindful of especially your stovetop and your oven, and make sure that you unplug those or turn the circuit breaker off so that when the power does come back on, that appliance won't come back on and cause a fire.
That's a good tip. I had never thought of that, but you're right. I would just think, okay, the power's out, and you walk away.
Right.
And don't think about what happens, and God forbid you leave your house.
Exactly.
Thank you, Casey.
All right, you're welcome.
Great tips.
Thank you.